from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, and we welcome in Fitz to start things off. Hour number two here on KFH Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester. Appreciate those of you joining us here. Odyssey app. Hey, maybe on our new 12 News Connected partnership with our friends at KWCH. Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different ways to take in Fitz. That's a lot of different ways to take in Fitz. Are you back from Vegas yet?
Yeah. I survived. It was a rough morning yesterday just because I worked late and then had to wake up early, but I can't do time changes, guys. I can't understand. It's 8 o'clock there, so it's 10 o'clock in Kansas. I got radio to do. I'm not very bright. I think that's what I'm trying to get at here. Just not very intelligent.
It's all right because more good stuff has come in the time away. So even more to dig into and have some fun with. We'll get into Big 12 Media Days in a minute. There's two like secondary storylines to me that have sort of come to pass in the last 48 hours or so that are interesting. Some of them revolve around conference realignment. I'm going to give you my solution to that here in just a second. But first, I saw this morning Jay Norvell. Did you see this? Jay Norvell saying that K-State tampered with what? A quarterback? A, what do you make of that? Narc. And B, like, why would K-State be wanting to throw around $500,000 to a backup quarterback? You'd have to think. What did you see that? And what do you think of that?
I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know. Look, here's the problem with NIL is nobody from K-State is calling these kids up. It's usually agents are shopping the kids. Or there's people out there trying to be your agent that can find you a better deal than your current agent. And honestly, I think some NIL collectives probably do reach out on people, but they're not associated with the university often. So there's just so much gray area out there that the NCAA has just not addressed and is scared to address that. But I don't even believe that report, but if it happened, it wasn't direct. And And that's what's happened. I mean, Kobe Savage left K-State. He was perfectly happy, but someone reached out to him and said, hey, you can make more money at Oregon, and he went and looked.
Well, and, you know, I think also on top of it, just from what I've seen, Jay Norvell likes to talk a little bit. I know there was quite a bit of drama with him last season, so I don't put a ton of stake into it, but I do understand this thought that, you know, maybe in general coaches are feeling this a little bit, Fitz, where maybe it is an agent or maybe even an NIL collective that maybe doesn't have a whole lot of communication with the actual coaching staff, and they're, you know, maybe throwing out money and that sort of thing. It's kind of like the left hand not really doing, not really knowing what the right hand is doing.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of that in college athletics right now, because so much of this is spun out of control beyond the grasp of, you know, athletic departments. But I know there was, K-State was looking for a backup quarterback all off season. They found one. They're happy with the one they found, but I don't see them throwing huge NIL money at a backup quarterback. That doesn't make sense for K-State. I mean, I'm sure they had to pay some NIL money, but $500,000, guys, that makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Maybe for a starting quarterback and a good one, but come on now. Anyway, whatever. Whatever, Norvell. Maybe he meant Kent State. He did just say K-State. Maybe he wasn't talking about the Wildcats. All right, Fitz. So, yeah, Kennesaw State. There you go. I'm intrigued by, and I know it was Dellinger had to back up a little bit. He said it to John Kurtz. Anyway, that there had been at least initial conversations between, you know, Florida State, Clemson, and the Big 12. I would say to that, well, duh. Of course there have been. There have probably been a lot of conversations with everybody. Like, that part doesn't surprise me. What got my gears turning, though, with that is hearing that the Big 12 basically paid Colorado a little bit of money to disrupt things, which is smart. It makes me wonder, when a businessman is in charge, capable of being that cutthroat, and you're talking about these buyouts with Florida State and Clemson, why would, and I think there's a real chance something like this happens. Why not, if you're Brett Yormark, you take a private equity investment to go pay these buyouts? You grow the league. These investors can get a quick, fat return on their money. We just saw the NBA sign a $76 billion TV deal. Okay, so you take some private equity. You go pay a couple of these buyouts, or at least some of the buyouts, to disrupt things in the ACC. You get the dominoes falling on that. You move along. All the dust settles. I think the Big 12 could do it. I think Brett Yormark is probably thinking that way. If he paid Colorado to do it, why wouldn't he pay Florida State and Clemson to do it?
Yeah, first of all, I'm not bought in on all of this talk yet, but it does make the entire investment thing make more sense. I mean, you're just going to get money and dole it out to your schools? It sounds great, but, well, you know, is that what they want? They want to improve their investment, and by sinking money into getting those schools into the Big 12, I mean, I think in one report, Notre Dame's included, which I don't know how much you'd have to pay Notre Dame.
I saw a parody account say that. It was funny that he put it out there, because I had said something like that similar. But just in general, like, doesn't it behoove the Big 12 to grow now? Yeah. I don't think you're going to get, like, because you're not going to get certain teams. The SEC probably wants North Carolina. The Big Ten may want a couple of these too. Miami probably is appealing to other, but at least get the ball rolling, because the iron is hot right now, and you want to strike. And I think it's an easy investment. If you had money, why wouldn't you make an investment in college football right now or live sports? Like, if you want a return on your money, because I don't think it hurts or helps. Well, it doesn't hurt the schools. It's not like you're saying, all right, you know, XYZ investor, we need $50 million to go help pay these buyouts. You're not taking any money away from the schools that you currently serve. It doesn't change that. You're using it as a way to grow your business. That's all you're doing there.
Yep. Look, Brett Yormark is fearless. I guarantee you he's reached out to all of those schools. He's talked to everyone. You know, it's not just more than they don't want to take the call. He's probably, you know, had extensive calls with people just about where they're at. Brett Yormark just seems like a guy that can get people on the phone. And I mean, I'm sure he's swinging for the fences. There's only one thing left that would close the gap football-wise with the SEC and Big Ten would be the addition of some of these schools from the ACC and certainly Notre Dame. But I think we all realize Notre Dame is going to, if they leave independence, they're going to end up in the Big Ten, not the Big 12 or right. anything else. The one thing that could save the ACC by counterpoint is Notre Dame coming in full-time and having it renegotiate the contract. But I get the vibe at Big 12 Media Days, the way Brett Yormark emphasized the fact that when someone asks about a basketball-only contract, which, you know, the Big East just got a really nice deal, they ask him about breaking basketball out. He said, well, we're not going to be in the market again to renegotiate contracts till 2030. I think that was a signal that, hey, the networks ain't paying us any more money right now. They're all tied up with money. We're not getting any more money, so we're not expanding and lowering what the schools get. So I think that was the message, and that's probably the biggest thing facing the ACC schools is are they worth a network reopening negotiations to move them out at a higher rate to another conference? Keep that in mind. I mean, if you're ESPN, you've got them on a deal. You're stealing. You don't want to give that up. So there's just so many moving parts here. I don't see how anything happens, you know, with the Big 12 hitting a home run in the short term.
Here's my follow-up on Brett Yormark, watching his remarks at Media Days. I mentioned this the other day on the show. That I had two thoughts as I'm watching him since that I made. Number one, and this might sound like a negative. I don't mean it as a negative, but he strikes me as kind of like one of those televangelists from the 80s a little bit, you know, extolling the virtues of the Big 12, you know, kind of as a showman, which I totally understand that position. And then number two, I also, in my mind, I thought of Steve Jobs and all of the Apple keynote presentations that he made before he passed away. Again, talking about all of all the new things that Apple has been doing and kind of as a visionary in that way. So to me, it was like, and I know that he's not new anymore in this position, but even just watching him, I'm like, man, what a difference in the Big 12. And even though there are going to be things that he does that are probably going to ruffle some feathers that he already has, and there are probably some traditionalists out there that are, you know, gnashing their teeth over some of the decisions that he makes or the things that he wants to do in the conference, to me, there was just this level of excitement that I'm not sure I've really ever felt before with the conference.
I agree. This Big 12 Media Days felt like a new conference, more so than last year, more so than any time when they've added schools, because it did strike you that half the conference now is, you know, been joining in the last 12, 13 months.
Right.
And I think he is the face of that. I think he does an incredible job of summing up strengths and not emphasizing weaknesses. He does that with the Big 12, but talking about competitive balance. And I think he's a great salesman, and I think he's an incredible negotiator. So if the Big 12 can keep him, you know, on course here, the problem is I don't think he'll be around at the Big 12 in 2030. I may not believe that in 2025. I think if someone really needs a, you know, let's say NBA decides they need to replace Adam Silver, that he's going to be right there. I mean, he's going to be way up on everyone's list now because of his dynamic leadership. And certainly the NBA would be a great landing spot for him. And look, I believe in the guy. And if he can pull off and get the top teams from the ACC to join the Big 12, the heck with All-State 12, it's going to be the Yormark 12. I mean, it'd be an incredible coup, and there's only one guy that could probably do it, and it's Brett Yormark.
Yeah, and he's working on it. You know he's working. If it can be done, he's knocking on the door and beating it down. Our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, joining us, and we will talk Cats in just a second. I do want to, though, before we really dig into that, get your thoughts on Coach Prime out there. A lot of people frame that as him making excuses, saying their wins are different. I think their wins are different. I think he was right. I don't think that was excuses. Their win total's 5.5 this year. Look at their schedule. I mean, I don't think they're getting to 6 wins, but I also don't think if they, you know, win 5 games but are more competitive than they were toward the end of last year. It's not like a failure of a season. I don't know. I thought it was fine from Prime out there. What was your take?
Well, he's got some messaging issues. I mean, I totally agree with everything you said. And the logistical process of building a football program, you know, the best thing for Colorado isn't to win 9 games this year, which would be great for Colorado, don't get me wrong, but it's probably continue to build the foundation and keep climbing up. But I don't think he has interest in long term. This might be it for him. I mean, his kids are going to be out of there, and I like Coach Prime a lot, but he lost me honestly when he starts talking about it. He doesn't know what culture is. Well, that might be why you won 4 games. Why, you know, not just injuries, but your team fell apart because you don't have the ability to withstand, you know, trouble. Anything that doesn't go right, your team can fall apart without a good culture. And I sometimes think he and his players' messaging is just awful. Just awful. Talking about everyone's Super Bowl is against a 4-8 team. Come on, man. That's just stupid. That's just that's
well,
that's
but okay. I know that's arrogant and dumb. But they'll have a ton of attention. He's not wrong about that. Like we'll see what happens. But I'd venture to guess, at least early, the top ratings out of the Big 12, the most watched thing, are going to be Colorado games.
Oh, I agree, but I don't think anyone's role. Maybe Colorado State rolls into that game with extra urgency to win it. In the Big 12, you want to win every game. I mean, that's usually true of most conferences, but
right.
We also know in the history, there's just some games you go into, you know, you're going to lose. And I don't know, guys. He's really good for the Big 12. He's going to bring a lot of eyeballs to the conference, and a lot of people might discover how fun Big 12 football is to watch by watching Colorado, and then maybe passing off to the next game to watch the next Big 12 game. I think he is really, really a lightning rod for this conference to get some attention, and the Big 12 needs to make the most of it.
I think a good segue fits from Coach Prime to K-State is Dylan Edwards, obviously, and that was a huge part of Media Days, and I saw an interview with Dylan from Media Days talking about his time at Colorado and that he was homesick and wanted to come back and all of that. And, you know, of course, there's going to be, you know, that narrative, and that's going to be what people are talking about when those two teams match up this season. But from what you've been able to tell and through Media Days, I would imagine that at this point, there's a lot of plans and a lot of excitement about getting Dylan Edwards to be a focal point and a major point of this K-State offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he will be. And I talked to Avery a little bit in Las Vegas about that, and he said it's really cool to have him and to have the tools of DJ and Dylan together is going to offer them a lot of flexibility. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they use him. I mean, do they line him up in the slot as a receiver just as much as they put him at running back? Do they need that? Are they going to go to two-back sets? These are all things that Dylan Edwards coming to K-State, knowing that these coaches are really bought into, you know, getting your best players on the field and putting them in positions. You're not going to bring in a Dylan Edwards and then play him 15 offensive plays. You got to find more than that. So watching them do that will be great. But Dylan Edwards is going to add a lot to this team. And he almost adds that one more threat that they were missing to really make this offense a headache for defensive coordinators.
You tell me if I'm overstating it with Avery Johnson, who I thought in what I saw from him out there did as good a job as a young person could do. He's already on the Heisman radar. I think with him, we're going to see a couple of things. I think he'll be going into, not this coming season, but the next season after that, he'll be a top 5 Heisman candidate by odds, maybe even higher. And I think he's. It's going to work. It's all coming together for him. He's got a chance to be like a first-round quarterback. And it's so strange to say any of this because we've only seen him start one game, but it's all there. We saw it on the field last year. We're seeing it off the field this year, going into this season. Like, I'm all in. I think it's going to be a home run.
Well, 100%. I'm with you. I'm a huge believer in this young man, and I'm glad more people in the media got to meet him and understand why so many people are confident in him. I can't remember what he was talking about, but he was making really dated references. And the more and more I get around Avery, I'm convinced he's not just an old soul. He's a former football coach from another life or something. He's just got a greater understanding about life and football than maybe any other 20-year-old, whatever Avery is, I've ever come across. And he handles himself so well with the media and never seems overwhelmed by the moment. And I think that is probably one of the most powerful traits a quarterback can have. And Patrick Mahomes has it. And I'm not making that comparison. I'm just saying
I know what
quarterback
you mean,
have that. I'm not overwhelmed by this moment. There's 30 seconds left. We need to go 50 yards. I'm not overwhelmed by this. This is not unthinkable. The great ones have it, and he seems to have it. And the key with him, and like any quarterback, is can he stay healthy? And you know, can he continue to play with his full option of weapons? You know, he doesn't hurt a shoulder or a knee that limits him in one or the other departments. If he can continue his run-pass balance, he's going to be a real threat all year long.
It'll be fantastic. We can't wait for it. This appetizer to the football season, it is going to be more fun than it ever has been. I'll keep banging that drum. Fitz, glad you made it back home safe. Hope you won a little money, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, boys. Great to hear from you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. GoPowerCat.com. You can find his work at Life of Fitz. All the great coverage from Big 12 Media Days they've got put together. Go to GoPowerCat.com. It's all there for you. We appreciate Fitz. We'll have him in again next week. We'll dig more into the X's and O's of Big 12 Media Days as we get closer to the season. We want to know about wide receivers. We want to know about this defense. We'll do all of that. Just needed to get through some of those other bigger storylines while they're still fresh on the mind with Fitz there. You can go back and listen to any of that if you joined it late by going to the Odyssey app. It'll be podcasted out for you at that point. Easy to find. All right, Tommy, let's do a little housekeeping here. Let's give away some HTO. We'll set that up here. So if you want to win some iced tea from HTO, any of the three metro locations, East or West Wichita or in Derby, more than 20 flavors, or some free rain coffee, all you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357, a free iced tea, a free coffee, one entry per day, message and data rates apply. Good luck on that, everybody. We'll come back. Is Tommy or I interested in the ESPY Awards at all? Anything there needle moving? And we'll continue to dig into the Royals as they get ready for a big weekend series headed into the All-Star break. That's next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Appreciate Tim Fitzgerald for hopping on with us. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of that, you can. Just jump on over to the Odyssey app, kfhradio.com. You can always go back and listen to the podcast at forums. Want to welcome in our audience on 12 News Connected. Thanks for being here with us there as well as the socials out there, Facebook, YouTube, X. Glad to have you with us here. All the different ways you take in the show. We got an HTO giveaway right now. You can text the keyword T to 20357. We got an NBC World Series ticket contest going right now. You can text the keyword strike 20357. A message and data rates apply on both of those. Let's look at the Royals get this first game against Boston. I'm just kind of looking here. We don't have a lot of the props out yet. We have some of them out, but we don't have Royals offensive props, at least that I see on ESPN Bet. But it's a Cole Reagan start, Tommy. It's a start where you can get pretty close to even money, minus 115 on the money line. They're slightly favored. They're listing Boston's starter as to be decided, so that may be changing a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on there in the Boston rotation. But until we get those, once they come out, I will strongly consider some sort of salvy offensive prop, maybe even a home run, but more likely like an over 2.5 bases kind of a thing. So it's all there, but it's still a little early on that. Minus 115. Don't mind that on the money line with Reagan's on the mound tonight.
I like that. I think that, you know, Reagan's has the stuff to be able to really kind of, I don't want to say dominate this game, but he's the last time out, you know, gave up two runs in seven innings. It was a good outing for him for sure. It's been a minute since we've seen great Cole Reagans, but I think that even good Cole Reagans is going to be enough with the way that the Kansas City bats have started to heat up over the last week that they should be okay. So I understand why they're favored in this game tonight.
I feel like I love Reagans. Reagans is awesome, but I feel like his floor is a little lower than Lugo. So whereas we've treated Lugo as like anytime he's around even money, you just go bet it. Reagans is a little bit different than that. He's had really only one bad start. It was the Cleveland game where he gave up five runs. I mean, since June, I mean, you go way back to like since May 11th, that was his other sort of dud game. He hasn't had other dud games, just those two. But it does feel like, well, he had one in April. I shouldn't say that. So he's had, let's call it three. We'll call it three dud games this entire season. So the chances of dud game are very low, right? It's just, what about that upside? You know, can he spin one of those just magical, unreal performances where he does his thing? I think yeah, he can. I'm going to go back to, he is not, yeah, okay. So I like it. I like minus 115. And then you get into that whole, what about plus 140 when you give up a run and a half? Can they win by two? Now you're looking at plus 140. Honestly, if I was taking one of the two, and I probably will, I would probably go ahead and take the run line, get that better odds because...
That's what I would do.
Because the offense appears to be hot. That's the only reason I would do that, is because now it's like, okay, there's a little risk in Reagan's in you know, not much, but a little bit. But it's because the offense is hot where I'm more inclined to probably just go ahead and get the better odds and give up the 1.5 runs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one thing to keep in mind with this, and we just mentioned how the offense really hasn't helped Cole Reagans a whole lot as of late. In the last six starts that Cole Reagans has had, the Royals are 1-5 in those starts, and he's pitched decently well in most of those starts. In fact, you know, you go back to Colorado, like I mentioned, two runs in seven innings, but the bullpen fell apart, and the Rockies won that game. You know, so they've got to do a little bit better job with that. Here's the crazy thing. The last five road starts that Cole Reagans has had, the Royals they haven't won any of them in the last five road starts. That includes three losses when the Royals are favored and the odds are minus 170 or higher, that the Royals have lost three of those games when they've been favored by that much. And so the trends are not there as of late for Kansas City to not only cover the spread, but to just win on the money line and Cole Reagans on the road. Hasn't been there. You know, so conventional wisdom would say don't bet that. But, you know, it's hard to ignore what's happened the last week or so with Kansas City and their offense, and you'd like to think that they might find a way to be able to help him out better.
So two runs, seven innings at Colorado. Two earned, six innings, Oakland. Dodgers, three earned, seven innings. Twins, two earned, five innings. And then you go back to the dud game I talked about in L.A. So his last four road starts have been good.
They haven't won any of them.
I know. You're right. It's like, but again, like that's the whole our wins a pitcher stat thing. Like I think that's a... That how could you ever bet that way, right? Like, it's Reagan's, the bullpen's going to blow it for him. And I know weird stuff like that happens, don't get me wrong, because I'm a pretty, you know, superstitious person in general when it comes to, like, baseball. But I don't know if I could bet that way. Like, I've just got to look at it like, Reagan's has been good. He's been good on the road. The offense is hot. Can they win by a run and a half? I think they can. And that's the thing, like, am I going to take minus 115 on a one-run win or plus 140 on a two or more run win? With the offense going, I'll just take the better odds. Now,
yeah, maybe the bullpen I think that messes. That's the,
I mean,
That's the betting play, I think, you know, is if you're going to bet the Royals to win with Reagans, bet them to cover. That's probably the best way to go about that. So I don't disagree with that. But again, if you're just looking at the trends altogether, it would tell you to stay away. If you're going to bet it, though, I'm going to take the better odds and I'm going to bet them to cover the spread.
So that's there. I want to see some of the offensive numbers because those are that's what I'm pretty interested in, is just kind of betting on the offense, especially Salvi. Just get on Salvi while you can, because if he gets on one of his heaters, it goes for a minute. So that's out there.
What do you think
there.
The expectations ought to be for the series in general? I mean, I know that you mentioned
two or
earlier
three.
That a
one.
Sweep is probably, I mean,
one,
you know, out of the
one,
out of the realm of possibility.
Is, like, one is what you have to have. You got to get one. My expectation would be two out of three. I think it's totally within the realm of possibility to sweep it. It's hard
really?
With the
okay.
Royals. It's hard with the Royals to do this because I think it does depend on if they're on a heater or not. And I think we talked about this at the beginning of the week. It's been so interesting to see the parallels to last year's World Series champion. If the Royals can just really take advantage of their offensive heaters, it may be enough. It was enough for the Rangers to win a World Series last year. The Rangers World Series last year, their bullpen was garbage. They went through these cold stretches offensively like this Royals team has, and they didn't have near the starting rotation 1-5 that the Royals have. Now, they probably had more offense. Well, they didn't probably. They definitely had more offense. But it was an offense that got streaky, and it really hindered. Like, they went through these stretches where you scratch your head, a lot like what the Royals do now. But what they did was when they got hot, they got red hot. I mean, they just didn't – they took advantage of when they got hot. And so if the Royals can do that, and I think that they can, we're going to find that out right now, but even more so after the All-Star break. I think after the All-Star break is really what I'm looking at. So for this series, as long as you don't get swept, I'm fine. You got to have one. I think they should expect to get two. And I absolutely think they could sweep this series. I do. With those three pitchers on the mound, sure.
Yeah, you've got to bottle up the two-game stretch that you had in St. Louis on Wednesday. And then that's going to be the biggest, I think, indicator on whether or not they win the series, number one, or if they can even sweep the Red Sox, number two. I'm not sure I'm ready to say that. I think that, and the only reason I say that, I know they've got their aces on the hill this weekend. I know that the offense is coming around. Boston's right in the thick of the wild card race as well. And I think the biggest indicator, I just keep going back to it. Overall, the whole body of work, the Royals don't typically hit well on the road. Typically, they have in the last three road games, but overall, they typically do not hit well on the road. If they can change that, and I really desperately, especially the Cole Reagans game, I so desperately want the offense to break free and give Cole Reagans quite a bit of run support. Because if they can do that for him, to me that says, okay, they've gotten this behind them where they don't hit well on the road. They don't give Cole Reagans good run support. If they can give him that in this game, then I feel a whole lot better about what things might look like after the All-Star break.
Yeah, it'll be a fun series. I'm looking forward to the series. Again, I'm looking more forward to what comes after the series, so I don't want to overlook the series. It's a massive series. They could do something great with it. I think the reason I'm not letting myself get overhyped for this series is I don't think Boston's going to be the team there in the end. So I know they're the team there right now. I don't think Boston's going to be the team to worry about in the end. And that's where it has a little less bite to me than, let's say, like the Cleveland series have or the Minnesota. Like, if I'm looking at the wild card right now and I had to take a swing at who's going to be, it'll be one of the Yankees or the Orioles. I think the Twins are far more real than Boston. I think Houston is more real than Boston. Houston's the team I worry about more than Boston, for sure. I think, and you know, Boston's probably going to make some noise at the deadline, and my opinion on this may change greatly, and so probably I shouldn't overlook it in any way. But I'm not sure that I wouldn't worry more about Tampa than Boston at this point. And then I think that's probably it. I think the Rangers are going to get back in the mix, but they've got a much longer way to go. So if you're looking at Yankees/Orioles, Twins, Astros, Boston's not the team I think that's going to be there in the end. I think it's going to be one of those other teams. Could be wrong. Doesn't mean they shouldn't beat them. Doesn't mean all these things. But I'm having a harder time getting like overhyped for it, like the Cleveland series, for instance, or a Minnesota series. I think those are the teams that are going to be there.
Yeah, I think that with Boston, they are one of those teams that when you look at their roster up and down, to me, it's a little surprising that they're in the position that they're in that division.
When I think you've more surprising got, than the Royals, honestly.
When you've got juggernauts like the Yankees, who obviously haven't played great as of late, but still, I mean, they had quite a bit of cushion because they were so good early on. Baltimore is in the mix right there. Tampa is in the mix. Really, the only team that's not are the Blue Jays. Right. It's just, it's surprising to me. Yeah, it's still surprising to me that Boston, and I know that you mentioned like the roster top to bottom, you felt like compared to the Royals that the Royals had a better roster. I'm even looking at just in the division. I think in the AL East from top to bottom, just on paper, I think Boston has the worst roster in the AL East.
I know. And it's not to take anything away from them at all. Not trying to do that at all. I think they're a great story for baseball this year. Also, I think the chances are they probably go at the deadline. They don't like losing either, and they've been doing a little of that. They have all the money in the world. They'll probably go be super aggressive at the deadline and make themselves much better. So probably shame on me for overlooking this in any way, because that may catapult them over some of these other teams. And by the way, the Royals aren't playing against themselves. That doesn't change either. The Royals, again, I'll say it again and again, the Royals are playing against a number here. They're playing to a number of wins as much as they're doing anything else. Can't worry about Cleveland. They're too far out ahead. Minnesota, you can probably worry about because, you know, just for the divisional purpose. But I really do think it's sort of a race to a win number. Race to a win number. So you got to get there. And that's why I look at what comes after the All-Star break with all those games against teams that are not good this year. That's where they've got to be able to go in and pile up a ton of wins. Because probably they're going to come pretty close to splitting out most of these games against the contenders anyway. Just go beat up on the bad teams. If you can do that, that may be enough to get there. Breaking news. Tommy, you just sent this. Paul Skeens is starting the All-Star game.
And he that is the yeah, correct. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, Paul Skeens was, found out live on that program that he will start the All-Star game for the National League. That just came out literally a moment ago.
That's awesome. It's the right decision too, by the way. Put him on the stage. You don't get guys like him that captivate people very often. Put him on the big stage. Let him start that game.
Selfishly, I would have liked to see Chris Sale start for the National League. He's my guy with the Braves.
No, I
resurgent.
Know, but
he's got 12 wins, most in the National
who started
League.
Who's the American League starter? Is it Lugo?
I don't think they've named one yet.
Maybe they will in the next few minutes if they just announce Skeens. Maybe we'll have some breaking news there.
I think it's probably going to be Lugo.
Yeah, I think it'll be Lugo, which will be cool. We'll see that. I mean, the Royals are in the spotlight, man. Woo! You got Bobby Witt Jr. in the home run derby. You got four All-Stars. Maybe Lugo starts the game. Royals baseball is all the way back. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come all the way back and look around. Maybe we'll get those breaking news notes here in the last 20 minutes of the show. But we will come back, and we'll have some more fun. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Appreciate their support of the show. Tommy and I may swing over, grab a beer there later. Not sure.
Happy hour today.
A little happy hour, possibly. Gotta go to, you know, what is the line? I gotta go to Home Depot. I just don't know if there's time.
Don't know if there's time.
Yeah. So we'll see about
that. Nice little Saturday planned.
But pool weather certainly out at Crestview. Maybe golf weather if you're a junkie. If you're a diehard, you can brave it. But it's all out there for
you. Tomorrow.
Tell them we sent you. Yeah, you're doing it not when it's going to be hot. Tell them we sent you. Go enjoy the time. Take a tour. Check it out. We'll come back more Sports Daily right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Our thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up at the Odyssey Studios, including at KFH, getting us through the morning. All right, Tommy, we get the Skeens news. We're still waiting. We'll see if we get the American League starter news in time before the end of the show here. Hopefully they go Seth Lugo. That'll be another cool moment for the All-Star festivities. Bobby Witt Jr. in the home run derby should also be great. Really looking forward to that. I don't know if I even like his chances to win, honestly. But I like that he's in there. Right, I like that he's on display that way. You never know in a derby. I'm kind of excited about the derby field. I think they've got some exciting. I know it's not the headliners, and while I think that kind of sucks, I do think there are a lot of really interesting players in there that'll be good for baseball to sort of get on display a little bit. I'm glad the host Rangers got somebody in. And if you're going to get somebody in, you want it to be Adolis Garcia, all the flair and the flash and all that stuff. So that also adds to it. But I think it'll be a good All-Star game and a lot of interest for us here because of the Royal representation.
Yeah, I need going to the actual All-Star game. I need you to call your buddy Bruce Bochy and go ahead and have him name Seth Lugo as the starter for the American League. I think that would be just a great way to follow up the Paul Skeens announcement. I saw Jeff Passan put out there just a few minutes ago. Obviously, we don't know what the starting lineup is going to be for the American League, but potentially the bottom of the first inning, Paul Skeens could be facing Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. Like, come on now. Like, that would just be incredible. Like, 1-2-3, bottom of the first. That'd be insane.
Yeah. It's good. I love the All-Star game. I when I was a kid, and it even before the World Series part of it, I never missed a second of it. I thought it was the coolest thing. Not quite as into it, invested into it these days. But I do have always said, and it's not because they do some particular thing better than the others, but it's always going to be the best all-star event because the players can play it at full speed. They can play just the same way they play every day. And, you know, I understand why you can't have that in the other sports, but you get it in baseball. And I think that matters, and that's what makes it more fun.
I think so, too. And considering, you know, just the young star power that baseball just has in general, I'm not sure. It's been a while, I think, since we've had that. You know, there have been a young star here, a couple there throughout the last few years. But, man, really, you've just got this influx. And you look at the American League, obviously, the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr., and that's, you know, the showstopper right there for this part of baseball fandom. But the young stars that the Orioles have, Paul Skeens for the Pirates, there are so many young superstars, budding superstars. That's what makes, I think, the All-Star game, at least this year, so much more exciting. And then you look at the Home Run Derby, and I know you mentioned that a moment ago. It's a nice mix, I think, of these young, budding superstars and the veterans and the guys that just mash home runs and they have for a long time. Adolis Garcia, you know, obviously, and I'm, of course, partial to Marcell Ozuna. There are, you know, Pete Alonso, there are these bigger names that are in there that I think that's going to be a really fun mix. And for me, will make the Home Run Derby, I think, more of a must-see event than it has been in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to have Shohei there. That would be the only thing you change. You'd like to have Shohei, Aaron Judge there. But other than that, I think it's going to be good. It's still going to be highly entertaining. Appreciate everybody for jumping with us here in launch week to our 12 News Connected simulcast. Things have gone really well for launch weeks and technical things. I think we've got a groove there. We'll continue that certainly. And I'm looking forward to that. We'll try to get some great guests in as we go through the summer here. Hoping for some KU and K-State representation in that now that Big 12 Media Days, some football representation now that those are behind us. So we'll continue to work on that and get that ready for you. We've got TBT next week. Frank Mason talked yesterday. I think the TBT, when you look at all three collective lineups for the alumni teams, is probably as good as it's ever been. I mean, KU is going to run a squad out there with Frank Mason and Thomas Robinson headline.
Yeah.
I mean,
coaching by Sherron Collins.
I mean, let's go, right? And we know the aftershocks.
I know they made that announcement.
The aftershocks have their cast, and they're going to be great. K-State's got a bunch of talent to play. It's going to be awesome. So we'll begin to dig into that. We'll try and run some of them down next week as well, because the TBT, it starts Saturday. A week from tomorrow, we get that. All right, we'll tell you what's coming up. We'll get you the details on how you can listen to the Royals series this weekend. Don't go away. We'll wrap things up on a Friday here next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.